Last week we looked at the origin. God breathed them out. The Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all of the host of them, everything we see, by the very breath of His mouth. In the same way that God breathed our universe into existence, He breathed the Scriptures into existence. And that's what sets the Scriptures apart from every other piece of literature. Literature written by man. This book is unique because it's God-breathed. Secondly, we saw the theme. The theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, for the Word of God is living and powerful, meaning active and energizing. The Word of God is always active and it's always energizing. It has power. The Word of God is never static. Even though you may not be spending time in the Word of God, for those who are spending time in it, drinking from the unlimited resources of the Word of God, it is not static, it is always active, and it is energizing. That sets it apart from all other literature. If you've ever had the joy of standing on the edge of the Niagara Falls and watching as those millions of gallons of water per minute go tumbling over the crest of those falls, you stand there and perhaps you ask the same questions that I do. First of all, you're in awe of the tremendous, unending flow of water. You say, where's it all coming from? Never stops. 24 hours a day, year in and year out, that water comes from up the Niagara River and comes pummeling over the wall, over the crest. In the same way, there is tremendous energy, power that's created by the force of those waters. As you think of the Word of God, think of it in that way. It is always active, it is never static, and that is what makes this book unique. And the purpose of the written Word is to convey the person of the living Word. It is not the book that saves, but it is the Savior that the book presents who saves. So as we study the Word of God, and as we learn how to study the Word of God, and we spend time in the Word of God, remember the Word of God is only given in order to lead us to faith in Jesus Christ and to help us to see the God who is eternal. I like the way that Donald Gray Barnhouse, the famed pastor of 10th Street Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, used to illustrate this truth. He would picture himself as sitting in a room in a resort hotel looking out over a marvelous section of the ocean. Now, all of us have probably had the joy at some time or another, even if it's only been the Gulf of Mexico down here, of doing that. And we look out there and we see the ships and we see the water and we see this beautiful display, God's handiwork in the heavens all around. And all at once, we get lost in the lens that we're looking through. And here's what he said. He would imagine himself writing a letter to a friend who'd never seen the ocean as he's looking out of his window. And he would say, my room looks out through a window onto the ocean. Let me describe it to you. The window is about 4 feet high and 6 feet wide and is covered by a pane of glass, which is exactly 3/8 of an inch thick. I've taken some parings and scrapings of that glass and I've had them analyzed, and I find that it's a very fine grade of glass, the best you can buy. In fact, I'm attaching to this letter a research article on the kind of glass this is, where it's produced, what kind of sand it's made from, the process by which it is manufactured, how it is finally spread out in open form, and put in a window like this. I find that the window is locked into place by a substance that is called putty. It is a most unusual substance. It's very pliable at first, then it gets harder as it's allowed to dry. It's made of a strange chemical substance, and I've attached to this letter a series of research papers done on putty. If you have read it through, you will understand the high quality and high grade of this putty. I have also attached a series of studies on the art of putting glass into windows and the kind of training it takes to be a window staller, etc., 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 etc. Now, what's the problem with that letter? The window was only designed by man to be able to see through and to see that marvelous view that's out beyond the window. And many times we get so caught up in the mechanics of Bible study, and I hope you're caught up in the mechanics of Bible study, but in the process of studying the Bible, don't lose view of the fact that the Bible presents us the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the living Word, not the written Word. It's the living Word. The written Word is that which gives us the living Word, but it's the living Word that changes our lives. It's a person. not just words on a page. So as you read and study the written Word of God, look for the person of Jesus Christ. That's what I tried to tell you last week. He is there on every page of your Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And He is the one who saves us. Now let's get a bit more practical this morning as we continue this series. And be specific, what will the Word of God do for me? We always want to know what's in it for me. If I'm going to invest time studying the Word of God, like anything else, I want to know what's in it for me. What will it do for me? And Paul answers that here in these verses. First of all, he states that all of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed, therefore all of Scripture is profitable. God had a purpose in giving us all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And it's profitable. Profitable. Many books are not profitable. I know you've read books. I've read books. People have given me books. They say, this book is a great book. I read it and I think, it's not profitable. I think of the words of the writer of Ecclesiastes at the very end. He says, of the making of many books, there's no end, and it's all a weariness to the flesh. You feel that way at times? Even Christian books. And sometimes you take those same books and some author that's well known, and you think, oh, this book's a great book. And you read the first two, three chapters, and there's tremendous stuff there. But all at once you get to the fourth, fifth, sixth chapter, and you get the feeling the writer said everything he had to say in the first three chapters, and the rest becomes filler. That's why a lot of times I only read the first three or four chapters of a book. You don't have to read all the book. Usually he says everything. But the publisher comes along and says, you've got to have a book of 200 pages in length. So he's got to find a lot of filler to fill in what he's already said. And you don't need that. But the difference with God's Word from Genesis to Revelation is that all of Scripture is inspired of God and it is profitable. So don't neglect certain portions of the Word of God. I know of Christians who say, well, I read Psalms every day, and I love to read the Psalms every day. Others will say, I need the wisdom that the book of Proverbs provides, and so they read a proverb every day. But they neglect great sections of the Word of God. But all of Scripture is profitable. What that means, friends, is that we have got to get involved in some kind of a systematic Bible study that's going to take us from Genesis through Revelation. If it's all profitable and it all meets a particular need in our lives, then we've got to study the Word and look for what is it that God's trying to say to me in this portion of His Word. And we're going to look at how you can do that next week. It's sort of like, I heard about a man recently, maybe you've heard about him. He's the baloney king of the world. He eats baloney three times a day. He's eaten baloney ever since he was 9 years of age. He liked the taste of it. Found out it was good for him, at least I assume he found out it was good for him. He's now in his late 70s and he's doing great. So much for good nutrition. When his wife says he's full of baloney, she's got reason to suspect that. Oscar Mayer, all of these different companies supply him with all of the baloney. You want to have somebody supply all your food, just start eating nothing but their food. I assume that's the way it works. I'm not wanting to try it. But don't get on that kind of a diet. I heard about a man in our congregation many years ago who lived on nothing but rice and beans three times a day. That's all he wanted. No pizza, nothing else. He'd never tasted most other foods. I think he's still with us today. Although, come to think of it, I haven't seen him around. Maybe he's dead. I don't know. But that's not what we're to do with the Word of God. We're not to ignore great sections, books of the Bible. We are to study them all because they're all profitable. Don't miss that. By the way, the word profitable is the Greek word ophelimos, from which we get the word Ophelia. It's a woman's name. Now, I don't know too many Ophelias, but I know we have at least one in our congregation because I renewed their 25th wedding vows for them a couple of months ago. And this lady's a delightful lady. She really lives up to her name because the name literally means profitable. She is a profitable person. And if you meet Ophelia here in our congregation, I want you to spend time talking to her because she is very profitable. She's got a wonderful testimony, something to share in her life. And all of Scripture is like that. So don't ignore any portion of it. Now, Paul mentions several areas in which the Word of God particularly works in our lives as we move into verse 16 and then into verse 17. Notice that it's profitable for doctrine or for teaching. It will set you straight. It will teach you things that no other book could ever teach you. In fact, let me say that this Word, this Bible, 66 books in all, Genesis through Revelation, is the very best teacher you can ever have. One of my favorite passages is Psalm 119, speaking of what the Word will do, and I would encourage you, I read that every month. I've fallen in love with Psalm 119. Because there in Psalm 119, the psalmist is outlining what the Word of God will do in your life. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. Isn't it fitting that the longest chapter in the Bible would tell you of the tremendous, awesome power of this living and active Word of God and what it will do in you? And when he gets to Psalm 119 and verses 97 through 100, he writes these words. He says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more even than all of the ancients put together, because I keep your precepts." You want to know why we don't seem to have any wisdom in our society anymore to know right from wrong, to know how to solve all of the ills that have beset us as a society? It's because we have ignored the Word of God. We have ignored the manual upon which society is to be based. But we Christians can do the same thing. I was reminded of this recently when we were on vacation with George and Karen Phillips, who happen to be neighbors of ours and are also members here at Wayside. George and I were running together one morning in Sedona, Arizona. And George likes to stop and talk to everybody. We stopped and talked to this woman who was retired. We found out she was a school teacher, retired school teacher, a very liberal retired school teacher. And we began to talk about the problems in society, particularly with the young people and the decimation of the family and society and what we're seeing in the school system. And as we talked, it became apparent to me that this woman had no idea what was wrong. She had no idea what to do because she didn't know really what the question was. And all she said was, if we could just give our kids more education, education is the answer. But I tell you this, education that does not begin with God is nothing more than worthless information. In the book of Proverbs, the wisest man who ever lived next to Jesus Christ several times over says, "The fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom." And if we don't instruct our kids and instill in them, and if we don't have the fear of God in our own hearts, then there's no way that we can ever educate our kids. It begins with God. In the beginning, God. That's why Genesis begins. In the beginning, God. That's where we have to begin in our lives. In the beginning, God. We begin with acknowledging there is a God, and we have a certain awe and fear and reverence for Him. And we don't have that in our society. And if education does not teach us to fear God, then it's nothing more than worthless information that will only increase our ability to do evil. Theodore Roosevelt, at the turn of this century, wrote these words. He said, "Mere education without divine guidance," notice that, "mere education without divine guidance is like handing a gun to an irresponsible man." Mere education, that's what we're doing today, mere education without God. We can't mention His name. Mere education without God is like handing a gun to an irresponsible man. I'm almost convinced after the most recent statistics this week that it may not even be possible to have an educational system without the fear of God, where we now find out that we've got 90 million adults in our country that are functionally illiterate, and yet we're supposed to have one of the best educational systems in the world. Where did we go wrong? We left out God. And this book is profitable for teaching. Teaches us to begin in the beginning with God. I wish all textbooks began with that line, in the beginning God. Recently, Discover Magazine, scientific magazine, wrote, the most brilliant men in the world now, the astrophysicists, those who study the universe and the magnitude of the universe, this is a quote from the magazine, astrophysicists are seldom atheists anymore. They can't keep going back another billion years, another billion years, another billion years to fit it all in. The universe is so complex, there's only one way it could have been come into existence, and that is because God breathed it into existence. There's only one way this Word came into existence, and that is God breathed it into existence. And we need to acknowledge that. I think to myself, why can we not be intellectually honest and begin with God? Because we're rebels. And society is in rebellion against God. Can you imagine the changes in society and behavior of our children if they were taught a healthy fear of God? That awaits the millennial reign of Christ, and that's what's going to make His reign so beautiful, is because then we'll all have a fear of God in our hearts. And on a more personal level, this book will teach you all you need to know about yourself. You will discover the answers to the big questions about you. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Who am I? Questions we all ask, at least we ought to ask. There's no other book in all the world that has the answer to any one of those four questions. Only the Word of God answers those questions. It's the best teacher you can ever have, so don't ignore it. Don't just put it on a shelf in your study or over your mantle in your fireplace and just say, isn't that a marvelous piece of literature? It won't change your life there. It's the best teacher you can ever have. Number two, it's profitable for rebuking or correcting. Notice in verse 16. The idea here is to convict. It has this tremendous power to get inside of us and do things that no other book in all the world and all of the other books in all the world put together cannot do. The Word of God has that ability to get down inside of us. That's what Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, meaning it is sharper than the sharpest sword, and it is able to get down into the most innermost recesses of a man's heart and being. So it changes him inside out, and that's the only way that society and individuals can be changed. And that's what the Word of God does. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the good news of Christ, the Word of God, for it is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite of God unto salvation. What can dynamite do? It can do something that other explosives cannot do. Whenever they want to get rid of rocks that will not move, whenever they want to break up things and smash things, they will use dynamite. God likewise, when He wants to change society, when He wants to change our lives, He uses His Word to do it. Smashes us in order that He can rebuild in us. I like the way the prophet Jeremiah words it in Jeremiah 23, verse 19, 29, where God says, is not my word like a fire? Think of the force of fire. Is not my word like a hammer, he says, that breaks the rock in pieces? That's what God's word is. It's a fire. It's a hammer. And it will do things in our lives that no other literature can do. Why? Because God understands you. And this is the manual that He designed to go along with you. When He created man, He breathed into man the breath of life. He knew that man would need more than just the breath of life. He would need the breath of God. So He gave us the Scriptures, which were the product of the expiration or the breathing out of God, in order that we might know whenever we malfunction in any area of our lives, when our thinking is wrong, needs to be reproved and corrected, His Word will do that as nothing else can. So whenever you malfunction, look in the troubleshooting guide here in the Bible and you will discover what's wrong in your life. You have problems in your marriage, then you go to the Word of God. Don't go to secular counselors, you go to the Word of God. God's Word has the principles upon which He designed your life to function, your marriage to function, your family to function, and everything else about you to function. And I would say to you young people, you're going off to college, you're going to listen to a lot of professors, you're going to listen to a lot of others who are going to discredit the Scriptures. No matter what they say about the Scriptures are still alive and active, and they continue to do that which no other literature can do. Don't ignore the Word of God. Probably most of us have had the Word of God speak to us in areas where we really needed rebuking or reproving. Certainly that's been my experience. I've had that happen many times over where the Word has spoken to me about my relationship with Connie. It's spoken to me in the area of finances. It's given me a heart to give, and it's shown me how sometimes I can be hold on to things too tightly. It's spoken to me years ago about being out of debt, and I remember the conviction that God's Word, just simple portions of the Word of God, just somehow gripped my heart and changed me. There's nothing else could, and that's what God designed His Word to do. And the idea here is to rebuke sin and to refute error both, so that our thinking, which becomes so jaded at times by this world and all that we hear and all that we see going on around us, can be brought back into focus so that we can regain our focus and get back on track and be the men and women that God wanted us to be and behave the way that He wanted us to behave. That's what His Word will do for us. It convicts us, rebukes us. Notice it's also profitable for correction. It's a little different word here. It's one step further. It doesn't only convict us to tell us what's wrong, it corrects us. And it sets us straight. Again, that's what it means to set up straight or set upright on one's feet. It's a restoration to an upright position or a right state. So it not only speaks to us and convicts us like a surgeon maybe when he goes to work on us and he inflicts pain in order that we might be set straight again, made whole again. Our dog Sash, Golden Retriever, was having some problems. We took her to the vet. And the vet says she's got bladder stones. What the vet didn't know until he got into her bladder was that she had bladder stones, plural, plural, plural. She had 108 stones in her bladder. 20 to 30 of those stones were 3/4 to an inch in diameter. I don't know how her bladder held all those stones. She was in pain. For the next several days, after we brought her home, 2 or 3 days, Sasha was not able to get up on her own. She just sort of moped around the house. We had to be sure we got medication in her, in order that the whole purpose was that we might be able to set her straight again and get her back on course. And it was a painful process. But finally, she's back on course and feeling better than she's probably felt in the last year. God's Word does that in our lives. That's why we need to memorize key verses where God speaks to us, and especially the verses that God uses in your life to convict you and set you straight. And let me say on a larger level that this same principle applies to the whole of society. Only this book, rediscovered through a spiritual awakening in our society, when God brings us to our knees, will convict mankind and cure the ills that presently beset us. Nothing else, all of the education in America is not going to help us at this point. We need the principles of the Word to set us on our feet again and correct us. Notice it's also profitable for training in righteousness. The Bible has the skill to help each one of us walk day by day in a more righteous way. And the idea behind this word training here is discipline. It disciplines us in the area of righteousness so that now we can begin to function as God wants us to function as individuals in a society. It equips us. It trains us to be able to do that and to walk righteously. And the idea here is in our relationship with God, it helps us to know what's right in our relationship with God, how to develop a relationship with Him and maintain that relationship. And it helps us to know how we can develop relationships with one another, with spouses, with children, with parents, and how to maintain those relationships. And it helps us on a larger level in our extended family, the human family, to be able to know how to relate to the rest of the human race. But without it, we are as blind men leading blind men. And that's what we see in our beloved land today. The big problem in our schools, business, and homes today is a lack of righteousness or morality. We hardly even know what's right anymore. And the result is that we have a society that is rapidly disintegrating and literally out of control. Breakdown in every area. Judicial systems, breakdown in our homes, breakdowns all over America. Because we've ignored the Word of God. Daniel Webster, one of the great statesmen in our history, was prophetic when he wrote. Listen to this. If we abide by the principles taught in our Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we neglect its instruction and authority, no man can tell how suddenly a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury us. And we're only beginning to see the results in education and other areas, in society, in the area of crime. We're only beginning to see the results of the seeds that have been sown over the last 25 years when we said, God, we don't need You, we don't need Your Word, we don't even want Your name mentioned any longer in our schools. It's the Word of God that helps us to know what righteousness is and disciplines us in that area. And then finally, it's the Word of God that completes us and equips us. Look in verse 17. The purpose is, of all of this, that the man of God may be complete, whole is literally the word there. You know, all of society wants to know, how can I be whole? A lot of emphasis in medicine today on holistic medicine. You see it in bookstores all around the country, New Age section, New Age materials. We turn to the vortexes and we turn to all of these different New Age ideas, which are radical, far out ideas. And we think somehow we're going to discover the secret to how I can be whole and how I can function as a whole person and how I can behave the right way and how this can change society. But it doesn't amount to anything. It's only the Word of God that can make us, restore us, and make us whole people. And then once we become whole people, we are equipped through the Word of God to be able to perform every good work. It's the Word of God then that equips us for every good work. And here the idea is equipping us for something. To be able to do things that others who are ignorant of the Word of God will not be able to do. The interesting imagery here is in the New Testament. The Greek word here for equipping was used of the equipping of a rescue boat. Giving that rescue boat everything it needed to be able to rescue people on the Sea of Galilee, on the Mediterranean, Dead Sea, down on the Red Sea. To equip them when they saw people in distress, to be able to take that boat out, fully equipped so that they would be have everything that they needed to be able to rescue people who were drowning. God's Word does that for us. You want to be used of God? Then the best way that you can be used of God and the best way you can prepare yourself is begin by getting intense and committed to studying and knowing this book. Two weeks ago, you heard one of our elders, Jim Barker, speak to you. Jim's a great illustration of what the Word of God will do. I remember Jim when he became a believer. It's not been that long ago. He was a professional golfer. Jim became a believer, committed his life to Christ. Jim today is probably having as great an impact in the city of San Antonio for God as any other man I know, working individually with men, teaching up here in front of you, and one of the reasons I love to use laymen, quote-unquote, I hate to call them laymen, but guys who don't have any seminary education like Jim is because it ought to be an encouragement to you to know that if here's a man who never had any education in the Word as far as seminaries go, and yet God was able to take him and use him, then it ought to be an encouragement and an incentive to me. That's one reason we love to use laymen rather than all of our pastors who are seminary trained every time we want a pulpit replacement. So you'll understand that. Bill Bushhouse. Bill's sitting right down here. I got his permission to share this morning. In a wheelchair. And I know that every time Bill speaks from this pulpit, I don't think he speaks from the pulpit, but he's up here. Every time he speaks, sits up here in that wheelchair, you look at him and you say, you know, if Bill Bushhouse in a wheelchair can be used of God, and Bill's never had any seminary education, but Bill decided he wanted to get serious about doing something with his life. And he committed himself to studying the Word of God. And now every good work he's able to do because of what God's Word is able to do through him. It's not Bill Bushhouse, it's the impact and the power of the Word of God in Bill's life that makes him effective. And I would just go one step further and say, any good that comes from me, it's not because I went through 4 years of seminary. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. In fact, I look back and I say, my seminary education was next to worthless. But it's the time over the years that I've spent in the Word of God that has changed my life. So if there's any good whatsoever that comes from me, it's not me, it's the Word of God through me. That's how the Word of God equips us to be able to do every good work. Let me say further, I have yet to find a person who is committed to the Word of God who is not being used of God. Stop and think about that. I have yet to find a person, be it male or female, who is committed to the Word of God, who is not being used of God. It equips us for every good work. And we look out in society and we say, oh, if society understood, if they only understood, you cannot function, you cannot have a society, you cannot have an educational system apart from God. And we say, oh, if we could just see society changed. But let me say this. How can we expect society to abide by the principles of this Word if we as God's people are not serious about studying His Word? And if we as God's people are not serious about abiding by the principles of the Word. You see, the psalmist David in Psalm 119 and verse 136, he says, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your word." And until the word means that much to us so that we can say, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men, because society does not abide by the principles of your word," until we feel that committed about it, I don't believe God's going to act in our society. And that's why it's important for you to be in Bible study fellowship or precepts or some other form of regular disciplined study of the Word of God, because it'll equip you to do every good work. You want to be a godly teacher. You want to have an impact in the lives of children. You want to have an impact in the lives of adults. You want to become a man's man. You want to become a woman's woman. You want to become a teacher, a one who impacts others for eternity, that it's going to come about because you're committed to the Word of God. Do you want to see our world changed? Do you want to see your life changed? This is where it happens. And next week we're going to look at how to. Okay, if it's profitable, how do we do it? I want us to bow our heads in prayer. You know, one of Satan's ploys is to keep you out of the Word. Because he knows that's where the power comes, through the Word, through prayer, spending time with God. Most important part of every day ought to be that time that we spend time in God's Word and we pray. Do you value that time? But Satan's going to do everything he can to make it look hard, to make it look impossible, mission impossible. He's written that in your mind. I cannot understand the Word of God. You get involved in precepts or BSF or something else, and it becomes so difficult because there's work involved, and you say, "Oh, what's the use? I'll just give up." That's where Satan wants you to go. It's just to give up, and you've got to recommit yourself. If you do, it'll change your life. You'll never be the same person. You may be here this morning, you say, "Well, you know, you've spoken of this God, you've spoken of this living Word, but I've got to tell you that I don't know the author of this book. I don't know him personally. I don't know Jesus Christ." And this morning the Spirit of God is speaking to you. I would simply encourage you to come. We have some people who will be down here at the end of the service. You just find your way down here and we'll quietly, and we'll not embarrass you. We'll just simply give you some answers to the questions that you're facing. But I would ask you, I've spoken mainly to God's people here this morning. Are you willing to discipline yourself, commit yourself to a serious study of the Word of God? That's where it's got to begin. You will become equipped for every good work. Father, I thank you for these moments this morning. I pray that we will be forever changed as a result of what we've heard, not because it's man speaking, but because it's your word. Give us the boldness, the courage to make the right decisions in each of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we stand as we turn to 274, "Break Thou the Bread of Life"? If you'd like to pray, please come forward during this hymn. We're dismissed in the Lord's name. Visitors, please use the front exit.